مالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله، صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فإن الأولاد أمانة في أعناق الوالدين، الوالدان مسؤولان عن تلك الأمانة، فإن التقصير في تربية الأولاد خلل واضح وخطأ فادح، فالبيت هو المدرسة الأولى للأولاد، والبيت هو اللبنة التي يتكون من أمثالها بناء المجتمع. نعم،
بسم الله، الحمد لله. شيخ خالد حفظه الله starts by saying at praising Allah تبارك وتعالى, singing peace and prayers upon the Prophet عليه السلام, that precede raising the children in Islam.
The person you called is no longer on the line.
Islam is a trust. Next of the parents, and it's a great responsibility. It is a great amana and responsibility. And not raising them properly and having a defect in that is a great mistake. For the society is a part and pillar of the Muslim society. So raising that part of the family properly is of the most important of issues.
وقد تحدثنا فيما مضى في المحاضرة السابقة عن الأسرة المسلمة وواجبات الزوج والزوجة، وفي هذه المحاضرة سيكون الحديث عن تربية الأبناء في هذه المحاضرة والمحاضرات القادمة إن شاء الله على عدة حلقات، نسأل الله التوفيق والسداد.
Now, Shaykh Hafiz Allah says, previously, we talked about the matter of the Muslim family, the importance of it, the role of the husband and the wife, and today we'll begin to talk about raising the children, the Muslim children, and a series of lectures dealing with this, asking Allah to Ta'ala for tawfiq and sidat in this issue.
نعم، إن النصوص الشرعية من الكتاب والسنة تأمر بالإحسان إلى الأولاد وأداء الأمانة إليهم، وتحذر من إهمالهم والتقصير في حقوقهم.
نعم، the verses of Quran and Sunnah order with إحسان, goodness to the children, in order with the fact that they are in fact a amana and a trust, and that concerned and proper raising should be directed towards them, or that they should be given consideration.
قال تعالى إن الله يأمركم أن تؤدوا الأمانات إلى أهلها. وقال تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تخونوا الله والرسول وتخونوا أماناتكم وأنتم تعلمون. وقال تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا قوا أنفسكم وأهليكم نارا وقودها الناس والحجارة عليها ملائكة غلاظ شداد لا يعصون الله ما أمرهم ويفعلون ما يؤمرون.
الله تعالى says in the Quran, O you who believe, keep your trust, or do not betray your trust, or keep your trust to Allah, and as the ayah continues, and also do not deceive Allah and deceive the messenger and deceive your trust. Allah says in Quran, save yourselves and your family from a hellfire whose fuel is man and stone, upon it is angels that are stern and severe, and do not flinch from carrying out the orders of Allah, but order whatever they do what Allah has ordered. And verses of this nature is what the Shaykh has mentioned.
وقال صلى الله عليه وسلم كلكم راع وكلكم مسؤول عن رعيته، فالإمام راع ومسؤول عن رعيته، والرجل راع في أهله ومسؤول عن رعيته، متفق عليه. وقال صلى الله عليه وسلم ما من عبد يسترعيه الله رعية يموت يوم يموت وهو غاش له لرعيته إلا حرم الله عليه الجنة. متفق عليه.
And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that every one of you are a shepherd and every one of you are responsible, and when they ask about those under your care, a man is responsible for his family, and when they ask about them, a woman is responsible for her household, and like this, and everyone is a shepherd and will be responsible and ask about those under their care. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this hadith is muttafaq alayhi, Bukhari and Muslim. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also stated that there's no one put in responsibility over individuals, and they do not fulfill their responsibility correct, but rather they are lax in that regard, except they will not smell the fragrance or jinnah, they will not enter the paradise. And this also is a hadith that is authentic, Bukhari and Muslim.
ونحن نتكلم اليوم في هذه الحلقة عن السبل المعينة على تربية الأولاد، وهناك سبل معينة على تربية الأولاد إذا سلكها الأب ورعاها فإن هذه الأمور أو هذه السبل تكون عونا له بعد عون الله عز وجل في تنشئة أبنائه تنشئة صالحة، تربيتهم تربية إسلامية صحيحة. نعم.
Today we talk about بإذن الله the matters or the paths or the methodologies that will help a person raise their children Islamically correct. Matters that will help them do this. That there's methods that if the parents use, it will help them to raise their children properly, Islamically proper. To raise them children righteous. To raise the children in an upright manner.
من هذه السبل وقد سبق أن بيناه في الدرس الماضي العناية باختيار الزوجة الصالحة، فلا يليق بالمسلم أن يقدم على الزواج إلا بعد استخارة الله عز وجل واستشارة أهل الخبرة والمعرفة، فالزوجة هي أم الأولاد وسينشأون على أخلاقها وطباعها، ثم إن لها في الغالب تأثيرا على الزوج نفسه، لذلك قيل المرء على دين زوجته لما يستنزله الميل إليها من المتابعة ويجتذبه الحب لها من الموافقة، فلا يجد إلى المخالفة سبيلا ولا إلى المباينة والمشاقة طريقا.
Now, he said, and as we proceeded before, in previous lecture, we talk about one of the things that helped in raising the children was the matter of choosing the right mate, choosing the spouse, the husband, of the wife that one will marry, and that one must choose one who is righteous, a wife that is righteous, and that person must make istikhara, seek the help of Allah Ta'ala, and marry a righteous individual. Because he said, in this regard, the woman has effect upon the household. The children will take from her akhlaq, from her behavior, from her manners, and they will and inculcate those. And at the same time, it is said that the man is upon the husband of his wife, and it says that because of his love for her, he will lean towards many of her positions. He will find it hard for him to be in opposition to her, and like this. So he said, in this regard, it's very important that the proper mate is chosen. This is the beginning of the manners that will help one raise the children properly.
ولا نطيل في هذا الأمر فقد بيناه في المحاضرة الماضية. والسبيل الثاني من السبل المعينة على تربية الأولاد سؤال الله الذرية الصالحة. فهذا العمل دأب الأنبياء والمرسلين. وعباد الله الصالحين كما قال تعالى عن زكريا عليه السلام قال رب هب لي من لدنك ذرية طيبة إنك سميع الدعاء، وكما حكي عن الصالحين أنه أن من صفاتهم كما حكى عن الصالحين، حكى لنا الله عز وجل في كتابه عن الصالحين أن من صفاتهم أنهم يقولون ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما.
With the first matter he said he will not go on about because he had spoken about it at length in a previous lecture. But the second matter, or one of the second matters that will make it easier, facilitate the raising of children Islamically, is making dua to Allah tabarak ta'ala, asking Allah tabarak ta'ala for righteous children. And this is something that was the way of the messengers and the anbiya, the prophets and the righteous. And we find that this was their method. And we find Zakaria, Allah speaks about him, asking for a righteous child, a righteous heir. And we find that Allah mentions this many times in the Quran, that the Salihin, the righteous, were asking, oh Allah, give from us those children, to us children, provide with us children that will be for us a coolness for our eyes, and make us for the muttaqeen, for those who have taqwa, as imams or as leaders. So this is something that was the way of the righteous, that they would ask. They would make dua, they would invoke and supplicate Allah, that he would grant them righteous children.
كذلك ينبغي أن يفرح الوالدان بمقدم الأولاد وأن يحذر من تسخطهم. فالأولاد هبة من الله عز وجل، والذي يجدر بالمسلم أن يفرح بما وهبه الله سواء كان ذكرا أم أنثى، فلا ينبغي للمسلم أن يتسخط بمقدمهم أو أن يضيق بهم درعا أو أن يخاف أن يثقلوا كاهله بالنفقات. الله تبارك وتعالى هو الذي تكفل برزقهم، كما قال سبحانه وتعالى نحن نرزقهم وإياكم.
Then the Sheikh said also, it's important that the parents understand that the children are a gift. They are a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's not for them to be little or be neglectful regarding a gift given to them by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is something that should be understood, he said, whether the child is male or female, that this is something granted to that person by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And not to feel burdensome upon themselves in regards to these children, spending upon them, that they're spending and taking care of them, and these type of matters is a hardship upon them. For their provision is upon Allah tabarak ta'ala, as Allah says, we provide for you and for them. So this should be something that must be understood also.
ويحرم على المسلم أن يتسخط بالبنات ويحزن لمقدمهن، فما أجدره بالبعد عن ذلك حتى يسلم من التشبه بأخلاق الجاهلية وينجو من الاعتراض على قدر الله ومن رد هبته تبارك وتعالى. ففضل البنات لا يخفى، فهن البنات وهن الأخوات وهن الزوجات وهن الأمهات، فهن كما قيل نصف المجتمع، ويلدن النصف الآخر، فهن المجتمع بأكمله.
And also, what should be understood is that it's forbidden to belittle or put down the presence or the gift that Allah has given the men of daughters. It's not right for a believer to feel bad or regret or look down on the fact that Allah has blessed him with a daughter or with daughters. He said this is something horrible, and it is something from the qualities of the people Jahiliya, and from the first of those who associate partners with Allah tabarak ta'ala, and he means the mushriks here. He said this is a way of being displeased with the decree of Allah and rejecting the gift of Allah, but rather the daughters and the blessing, for they are the daughters and they are the sisters and they are the mothers. And he said they are half of the society, as they say, and they raise for us the other half, so therefore really they're the full society. He said so they are a great blessing. So this is something that must be understood.
ومما يدل على فضلهن أن الله تبارك وتعالى سمى إتيانهن هبة وقدمهن على الذكور، فقال تعالى: لله ملك السماوات والأرض يخلق ما يشاء يهب لمن يشاء إناثا ويهب لمن يشاء الذكور. وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام في الحديث الذي أخرجه البخاري ومسلم: من ابتلي من هذه البنات بشيء فأحسن إليهن كن سترا له من النار. وقال أيضا في الحديث الذي أخرجه أحمد وغيره بسند صحيح: لا يكون لأحد ثلاث بنات أو ثلاث أخوات أو بنتان أو أختان فيتقي الله فيهن ويحسن إليهن إلا دخل الجنة.
The Sheikh said, Hafizahullah, that what shows the blessings of the female child is the fact that Allah Ta'ala called them a gift, that them coming about, the existence coming about as a gift, in which the ayah which he says, therefore Allah is, he belongs all that is in the heavens and all that is earth, and that he gives us a gift whom he wills, a female, and then he says male. So he mentions the female first, and he calls the fact of their coming to existence as being a gift. So this is showing the blessing of them. Also, the Prophet ﷺ said, who is tested with female children, and he does that which is correct towards them, then they are for him a satran, or a covering from the hellfire, a veil from the hellfire. And this is a hadith that is related by Bukhari. There's a narration that he brings in by Imam Ahmad that says, he who is tested with two daughters or three daughters or two sisters or three sisters or two sisters, like this, the Sheikh mentioned, that, and he raises them or does towards them properly, treats them properly, there will be for that person a veil or a shield from the hellfire.
ومن السبل المعينة على تربية الأبناء أن يستعين بالله على تربيتهم، فإذا أعان الله العبد على أولاده وسدده ووفقه أفلح وأنجح، وإن خذل ووكل إلى نفسه فإنه سيخسر ويكون عمله وبالا عليه.
And another one of the methods that will help in the raising of children is the issue of seeking the help of Allah. For he who Allah helps and helps and supports in raising his children, then he will be successful. And he will be able to do that in a proper manner. And he who Allah does not help, but the person is left to themselves, then they will lose and they will not be successful. So the help of Allah, seeking the help of Allah and the aid of Allah in this matter is of the most important of issues.
ومن الأمور التي ينبغي أن يراعيها الوالدين أن يكثر من الدعاء لأولاده، يدعون لهم بالتوفيق والسداد، وعليهم أن يتجنبوا الدعاء عليهم. وقد ثبت في الحديث في صحيح مسلم: لا تدعوا على أنفسكم ولا على أولادكم ولا على خدمكم. فلا يجوز الدعاء على الأولاد، فإن كانوا صالحين دعي لهم بالثبات والمزيد، وإن كانوا غير صالحين عياذا بالله دعي لهم بالهداية والتسديد. وعليه فينبغي الحذر كل الحذر من الدعاء عليهم، فإنهم إذا فسدوا وانحرفوا فإن الوالدين أول من يكتوي بذلك.
نعم. And the Sheikh also mentioned that from the matters that will help also in the teaching of children is to make dua. As a matter, he said actually that they should show inayah, concern about, that the parents should be concerned about and look at. This matter of constantly making dua and making invocation and supplication for one's children. Making dua for that they have tawfiq and sidat, that Allah guides them and give them the ability to do that which good, and to avoid making dua against them or upon them. Well, there's a hadith in Sahih Muslim, in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated, do not make dua against yourself, and do not make dua against your children, and do not make dua against your servants. So he said, it's forbidden to making dua against them. And he said, the servant or the parent should be concerned about making dua for the children in any situation. For if they are righteous and they're making dua for them, then the dua is that they increase in this and they become more righteous. And if they are, a'udhu billah, unrighteous, then the dua is that Allah ta'ala guide them and correct them. He said, because if the children are unrighteous, and if they fall short, then the first ones to be affected by this or responsible for this would be the parents.
كذلك على الوالدين أن يحسنوا تسمية أولادهم والذي يجدر بالوالدين أن يسموا أولادهم أسماء إسلامية حسنة وأن يحذروا من تسميتهم بالأسماء الممنوعة أو الأسماء المحرمة والمكروهة أو المشعرة بالقبح فالأسماء تستمر مع الأبناء طيلة العمر وتؤثر بهم وبأخلاقهم قال الإمام ابن القيم رحمه الله فقل أن ترى اسما قبيحا إلا وهو على مسمى قبيح نعم.
Also from this matters is that the parents should choose good proper Islamic names for their children. Good names for their children. And avoid bad names and ugly names for their children. Because the good names are something that will be with the child, and the bad name is something, as he said, will be with the child for their life. And it will affect their qualities, it will affect their behavior, based upon the name that they have. And he said this is something known, to the such a degree where he brings a statement of Ibn Qayyim, that you cannot, rahimullah, that you cannot find a bad name except, or it's rare that you find someone a bad name, except that you find also that they have bad character. So this name has had an effect upon them. So it's important that the proper name be chosen.
والعناية بالأسماء واختيارها واختيار الاسم الحسن من قبل الوالدين لأولادهم وما يتعلق بالأسماء من أحكام يحتاج إلى مزيد بيان وتفصيل لعلنا نبينه في درس مخصص بهذا ما يجوز التسمي به وما لا يجوز التسمي به من الأسماء نرجعه إلى حديث خاص به إن شاء الله
Sheikh said this issue of names what names are permissible the fact that a mother and the father choosing the name what names are good and what names are not considered good all of these issues he said he will needs detail So he will leave for another section or another time period that would deal particularly with just the names.
ومن الأمور المعينة على الوالدين أن يهتم بعقيدة أبنائهم الصحيحة وأن يربوهم على العقيدة الصحيحة السليمة وأن يغرسوا هذه العقيدة في نفوس الأولاد. ومما يجب بل هو أوجب شيء على الوالدين أن يحرصوا كل الحرص على هذا الأمر وأن يتعاهدوه بالسقي والرعاية كأن يعلم الوالد أولاده منذ الصغر أن ينطقوا بالشهادتين وأن يستظهروها وينمي في قلوبهم محبة الله وأن ما بنا من نعمة فمنه وحده ويعلمهم أيضا أن الله في السماء وأنه سميع بصير ليس كمثله شيء إلى غير ذلك من أمور العقيدة وهكذا يوجههم إذا كبروا إلى قراءة كتب العقيدة المناسبة لهم نعم
الشيخ said to make sure that the belief is placed in their heart to nourish and implant this in their hearts the matters of belief and to be resilient to have resolve in that and be constant with it from the expression of shahada by what witness to none as to what you worship except Allah alone, and the witness of Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, but it's salam, having them express it, having them show it, having them announce it, and talk about this matter, to the issues of believing in Allah Tabarak Ta'ala, that He is our Lord, and He is the one that we worship, and whatever He is the one who provides for us, and whatever ni'mah that we have, we receive from Allah. The matter of the ulul of Allah, that Allah Ta'ala is above everything, and that there's nothing like Allah, that He is all hearing and all seeing, and at least a for His shame, there's nothing similar to Him. And all of these type of issues dealing with the matters of aqidah, to make sure that they're implanted in their hearts. And this is one of the most important issues that the parents must concentrate their efforts upon.
وتلاوتي آناء الليل وأطراف النهار، فهذا العمل من أجل الأعمال التي يمكن أن يقوم بها الوالدان، فالاشتغال بحفظ كتاب الله والعمل به اشتغال بأعلى المطالب وأشرف المواهب، ثم إن في هذا العمل حفظا لأوقاتهم وحماية لهم من الضياع والانحراف، فإنهم إذا حفظوا القرآن أثر ذلك في سلوكهم وأخلاقهم وفجر ينابيع الحكمة في قلوبهم.
The Sheikh Hafizullah, before I move on, he said on the last point that also when they are ready and able to read books of belief, that you get them the books of proper belief. Then he went on to say, from the matters of the parents also is that they should show concern for the book of Allah, for the children learning the book of Allah, memorizing the book of Allah, reciting the Quran, the book of Allah, night and day. He said this is something that is of the utmost importance, of the highest of levels of, and should have the highest of levels of concern for the parents, that in this manner they will be protecting their children, and they will be guiding the children, and the Quran will have effect upon the hearts of the children. And as he said, it will open up the resources of wisdom in the hearts of their children. So this is of the most important issues, teaching the children and making sure the children memorize the book of Allah.
كذلك مما ينبغي على الوالدين أن يربي أبناءهم على الأخلاق الحميدة والصفات الطيبة والأمور المستحسنة، فيحرص الوالد على تربيتهم على التقوى والحلم والصدق والأمانة والعفة والصبر والبر والصلة حتى إلى آخره، حتى يشب متعشقين لمعالي الأمور ومكارم الأخلاق. وكذلك يكره إليهم الكذب والخيانة والحسد والحقد والغيبة والنميمة وعقوق الوالدين وقطيعة الأرحام إلى غير ذلك من الأخلاق السيئة، يبعدهم عنها حتى ينشأوا مبغضين لها نافرين منها. وكذلك أيضا يدربهم على أمور مهمة كتشميت العاطس وكتمان التثاؤب والأكل باليمين وأداب قضاء الحاجة وأداب السلام ورده وأداب الرد على الهاتف واستقبال الضيوف والتأدب مع الكبير والعطف على الصغير إلى غير ذلك من الأمور المستحسنة التي ينبغي أن يألفها الطفل منذ نعومة أطفاله وتصبح له سجية. نعم.
Sure, also from the habits that, or the matter that will facilitate the raising the children properly and the parents should be concerned about, is treating them, is teaching them good manners, good morals and behaviors, good etiquette. He said, and this is very important, to teach them, he said, those things which are good and those things which are good characteristics and qualities to have, and keep them far removed and make them hate and dislike those characteristics and those manners and behaviors that are evil and that are bad to have. He said, for instance, you should teach, amongst the matters that should be taught is goodness and taqwa and hil, forbearance, and sibq, being truthful, and bir, goodness to the parents, And all of these, he said, these high moral matters that were of the good characteristics and the good qualities that everyone knows that an individual should possess. And also keep them away from kadhib, lying, and from khiyana, deceit, and get them away from uquq, or disobedience to the parents, and all of those type of matters. Make it or raise them in such a manner where they hate those bad characteristics and they stay far away from them. Also, give them the habit of eating with their right hands and speaking with respect to elders and inculcating their children.
كذلك على الوالدين أن يحصن أولادهم بالأذكار الشرعية وذلك بإلقائها إليهم إن كانوا صغارا وتحفيظهم إياها إن كانوا مميزين ويبينون لهم فضلها ويعودوهم على هذه الأذكار التي وردت في السنة النبوية الصحيحة وكذلك أيضا يحرصون كل الحرص يحرص الوالدان على تربية أبنائهم بالقدوة الحسنة هذه مسألة مهمة ينبغي للوالدين أن يكونا قدوة للأولاد بالصدق والاستقامة وغير ذلك وأن يتمثل ما يقولانه ومن الأمور المستحسنة في ذلك أن يقوم الوالدان بالصلاة أمام الأولاد حتى يتعلم الأولاد الصلاة عمليا من الوالدين وهذا من الأمور التي تساعد وتعلق الأبناء بالصلاة وهي من الحكم التي شرعت لأجلها صلاة النافلة في البيت حتى ينظر الأبناء إلى والديهم إلى والدهم وهو يصلي النافلة في البيت وإلى أمهم وهي أيضا تصلي الصلاة في بيتها ينظرون إليهم فيقتدون بهم في هذا الصنيع.
Now, also from the issues the Sheikh Abdullah mentioned is that there should be concern with teaching the children the afkar shara'iyya, the forms of remembrances of Allah Ta'ala. When they're able to do so, when he said when they can understand these issues, when they can pronounce them and say them, that you should teach them forms of remembrances that are authentically related in the Sunnah. Teach them how to remember Allah Ta'ala. And also from the issues is that the parents be a good qudwa. They be a good example for the children. They be a righteous example. That they see them in a righteous way. They see them in a good practicing that which they state. He said, practicing that which they will carry it out. And he said, in this manner, one of the best ways, he said, is for the children to see the parents make salah. For them to see the parents actually make salah. And this is for one of the reasons that the optional prayer has been said to be made, should be made at the house. For the benefit of the children. That when the children actually see the parents making salah in front of them, then they will emulate the parents and make salah also. So it is from this angle that the parents become a good example. Show the children they are in fact worshiping Allah Ta'ala. Show the children in fact how to worship Allah Ta'ala. And this is also one of the important issues that will facilitate raising the children properly.
ومما يجب على الوالدين أن يبعد عن أبنائهم المنكرات يبعدوهم عن المنكرات وأجهزة الفساد. فيجب على الوالد تجاه أولاده أن يحميهم من المنكرات وأن يطهر بيته منها حتى يحافظ على سلامة فطر الأولاد وعقائدهم وأخلاقهم ويجنبهم كذلك أسباب الانحراف الجنسي وذلك بإبعاد أجهزة الفساد عنهم وتجنيبهم مطالعة القصص الغرامية والمجلات الخليعة التي يروج لها تجار الغرائز والأعراض وعدم السماح لهم بسماع الأغاني أو الاطلاع على الكتب الجنسية التي تبحث في التناسليات صراحة ويجنبهم ما يفسد عليهم أخلاقهم عقائدهم وأخلاقهم وي كل الحرص في هذا الباب.
And also, in the same manner, they are to remove from the house the munkar, the evil, and the things that are forbidden. They are to have this far away from the house and not allow these matters to enter the house, the matters that can corrupt the family into the house. Not allow the children to witness or to hear or to watch or to look or to read that which will corrupt them, that which will deviate them in any way. He said, in particular, the adhesive facade, the things that our people are using today in the means of media, what they look at and what they read as a means of corrupting them, he said. Particularly those things dealing with sexual matters, and books dealing with sexual matters, and magazines dealing with sexual matters, and listening to music, and watching these matters of corruption that will corrupt them, and having these matters that will display that in the household. He said this is all of things that should be removed because they will corrupt the character and the belief and the behavior of the children. So it's upon the parents to remove the munkar, anything that is a munkar from the house, anything that will in fact corrupt the children, they should remove it from the house.
وعن الوالد أن يربي أبناءه على الخشونة والرجولة والجد والاجتهاد ويجنبهم الكسل والبطالة والراحة والدعة. فلا يليق بالأب أن يعود أولاده على الكسل والراحة والبطالة والدعة، بل عليه أن يأخذهم بأضدادها، ولا يريحهم إلا بما يجم أنفسهم للشغل، فإن للكسل والبطالة عواقب سوء ومغبة ندم، وللجد والتعب عواقب حميدة، إما في الدنيا وإما في العقبة وإما فيهما. فأروح الناس أتعب الناس، وأتعب الناس أروح الناس. فالسيادة في الدنيا والسعادة في العقبة لا يوصل إليها إلا على جسر من التعب عملي والكدح.
نعم. Also for the fathers is to show particular concern for the children, in particular the boys amongst them, to build them upon rujula, manhood, and struggling, and a spirit of struggle and sacrifice and sacrificing, and staying awake in the zeal to sacrifice for matters and these type of things, to keep them away from laziness and from this the matter of not doing anything, but keep them busy. Keep them struggling. Get them in the habit of striving. He said, because this is what is good. And this is what leads to that which is best. That the happiest of people are those who struggle the most, who make the most sacrifice, who strive the most. And the worst of those people are who are lazy and who never achieve anything because they never strive. So goodness is in this striving and in this manhood and this rujula and khushuna, some roughness and some test and like this, and the badness is in the opposite of that. So this must be taught from the beginning.
هناك أمور ينبغي كذلك أيضا مراعاتها مع الأبناء، فأخذ مشورتهم في الأمور المتعلقة بالمنزل أو الخاصة بهم، واستخراج ما لديهم من أفكار، وكذلك تعويد الولد على القيام ببعض المسؤوليات كالإشراف على الأسرة في حالة غياب ولي الأمر ونحو ذلك. وكذلك أيضا يدرب الأب ولده على اتخاذ القرار بنفسه، ويوجهه توجيها لطيفا في هذا حتى يعتمد على نفسه وينشأ وهو يعي ما يفعل في المواقف ويحسن التصرف. كذلك أيضا ينبغي للأب أن يجعل وقتا مخصصا للجلوس مع الأولاد مهما كان له من شغل، يخصص وقتا يجلس معهم يؤنسهم فيه، يسليهم ويعلمهم ما يحتاجون إليه ويقص عليهم القصص الهادفة، لأن اقتراب الوالد أو الوالد من اقتراب الولد من أبويه ضروري جدا وله آثاره الواضحة، وهذا أمر مجرب. فالآباء الذين يقتربون من أولادهم ويجلسون معهم ويمازحونهم يجدون ثمار ذلك على أولادهم، حيث تستقر أحوال الأولاد وتهدأ نفوسهم وتستقيم طباعهم.
نعم. And also the Sheikh is mentioning from upon the parents is to start to teach the children certain manners of responsibility and trust them with certain matters that they're able to do so. And also to teach them, he said, in a manner of gentleness, to teach them to have a little bit of self-independence, self-dependent, to be dependent off of themselves, to have confidence is a better way to say it, to have confidence within themselves, so that they will become responsible individuals. Also from the matters that they should, the parents must do is to spend some time, particularly the father, he said, to sit with the children. No matter how busy he is, he must spend some time with them, sit with them, talk with them. He said maybe tell them a nice story or whatever. He said those parents who spend time with their children, it has been shown that the children behave better, they are raised well, and it's a great benefit. He said the benefits are known. Those keep their children close, who laugh with them, joke with them, try to find out about their matters. And that's another portion that I might have forgotten. He said talking with them and finding out whether their concerns and so on and so forth. All of this is from the standpoint of keeping them close and spending time with them. He said this is a necessity. It is a must. And it has a great benefit for the children's present state and for their future, inshallah.
كذلك على الوالد أن يحرص على أخذ أولاده إلى المسجد منذ نعومة أطفالهم قبل إتمام الولد السابعة من أعمارهم، يشوقه إلى الذهاب إلى المسجد ثم يأخذه معه، ويحرص إذا أخذ ولده إلى المسجد على ضبطه فيه ولا يسمح له بأن يكثر الحركة ويشغل المصلين. أما إذا كبر الأبناء فإنه يجب عليه أن يقوم عليهم وأن يأمرهم بالصلاة في المسجد مع جماعة المسلمين، وأن يحرص على هذا الأمر ويصطبر عليه. قال تعالى وأمر أهلك بالصلاة واصطبر عليها، لا نسألك رزقا نحن نرزقك والعاقبة للتقوى. وكذلك على الوالد أن يصحب أبناءه لمجالس الذكر والمحاضرات والندوات التي تعقد في المساجد وغيرها، فهي مما تثري الولد بالمعلومات وتمده بالخير وتعده لمواجهة الحياة، وقد ترد عليه أسئلة فيجد جوابا لها من خلال هذه المجالس. نعم.
نعم. He said, and also upon the father is to make sure he takes the boys to the masjid, and to take the children to the masjid, and the boys in particular, he means here, to the masjid. From the time that their fingertips, as he said, fingernails start to grow. And in this regard, he's saying, particularly when the boys are seven, get them to the point where they want or have a desire to go to the masjid. Starts telling them, I'm going to start taking to the masjid, and make them want to come to the masjid. And then when he's at that age of seven, take them to the masjid. And when he takes to the masjid, he doesn't let them just run around and do whatever he wants, but he controls his behavior. It doesn't allow him to bother the people who are praying and mess up the masjid and like this, but he controls his behavior, and he teaches him. And when he becomes older, then it's a matter for him to order them, his sons, to come to the masjid. And this comes from the ayah in the Quran, which Allah Ta'ala says, order your family with salat and be continuous upon that. Verily will provide for you to the end of the ayah, that it orders them to order them to pray, and it has sabr or patience upon that. He said, and also to take them to the circles of dhikr and the halakat, the circles of knowledge and whatever. And this will open up for him a new benefit, and he will receive knowledge, and from those sittings and from those lectures he will hear, he will have questions and so on and so forth. So this is of the greatest of benefit also.
كذلك على الوالدين أن يصغوا إلى أبنائهم إذا تحدثوا ويشعروهم بأهمية كلامهم بدلا من الانشغال عنهم والإشاحة بالوجه وترك الإنصات لهم. الذي يجدر بالوالد إذا تحدث ولده خصوصا الصغير أن يصغي له تماما وأن يبدي اهتمامه بحديثه، فإن هذا العمل له حسناته الكثيرة. ومن هذه الحسنات أن هذا العمل يعلم الولد الطلاقة في الكلام ويساعده على ترتيب أفكاره وتسلسلها، ويدربه على الإصغاء وفهم ما يسمعه من الآخرين، وكذلك ينمي شخصية الولد ويصقلها، إلى غير ذلك من الفوائد. وعلى الوالدين كذلك وخاصة الأب أن يتفقد أحوال الأولاد ويراقبهم من بعد، ومن ذلك أن يلاحظهم وينظر إليهم خلال أدائهم الشعائر التعبدية من صلاة ووضوء ونحوها. وكذلك على الوالد أن يراقب الهاتف المنزلي وبمن يتصل أبناؤه، وكذلك أيضا أن ينظر إلى جيوبهم وأدراجهم من حيث لا يشعرون، كأن ينظر في أدراجهم إذا ذهبوا للمدرسة وينظر في جيوبهم إذا ناموا، ثم يتصرف بعد ذلك بما يراه مناسبا. وكذلك عليه أن يسأل عن أصحابهم ورفقائهم. وكذلك على الأبوين مراقبة ما يقرأه الأبناء وتحذيرهم من الكتب التي تفسد عقيدتهم وأخلاقهم، ويرشدوهم إلى الكتب النافعة. نعم.
Also the Sheikh Abdullah said is upon the parents to be in the habit of showing that they are paying attention to their children when they talk to them. And they give them the full attention. Don't turn your head away or look to the left or right or like you're unconcerned. It's very important to give them attention, to listen to them directly when they talk from the beginning of your relationship with them. Particularly said the small child. This has a great effect upon the small child. If you listen to what they're saying and you pay attention, and you know that you're paying attention to what they're saying, he said it will give them, have effect upon them. It will improve their fahim, their understanding. It will bring out more so their personality. It will teach them how to express themselves better. It has many, many benefits. Also, for the parents in general, and the father in particular, is to watch his children and to check them out from a distance, when they do the ibadat to shiraiya and your worships, watch them how they make their salat, how they make their wudu, you know, these type of things. When it's looking at the phone call regarding the phone, knowing who calls the house, who are they talking to, and this type of thing. When they go off to school, as he said, looking at, through their things that they have. Clothing or drawers or whatever, you know, and this type of matter to know, you know, how they're doing and what's going on with them. All of these type of matters, what books are they reading, who are they associating with, all of this is responsibility of the father to know what's going on and to so that he can direct his children in the proper manner in that regard. What they read and these type of things, he says. So all of this is of the concern and responsibility of the parents in general and the father in particular.
وكذلك أيضا من الأمور ومن السبل المعينة في تربية الأبناء اختيار المدارس المناسبة للأولاد والحرص على متابعتهم في المدارس. فعلى الوالد أن يحرص كل الحرص على اختيار المدارس المناسبة لأولاده من حيث طلابها وإدارتها ومدرسوها ومناهجها، والتي تعنى باستقامة طلابها وتهتم بأخلاقهم وشمائلهم قولا وعملا، لأن الأغلب أن الولد إنما يختار أصدقاءه من المدرسة من أبناء صفه الذين يشاكلونه بالمزاج والطبيعة أو الطبع. وعلى الولد أن يقوم بمتابعة وعلى الوالد وعلى الأبي أن يقوم بمتابعة الأولاد في المدارس باستمرار حتى يتأكد بنفسه من صلاح الولد واستقامته، ولئلا يفاجأ في يوم من الأيام بأن ولده على خلاف ما كان يتوقعه ويؤمله فيه، ولأجل أن يدرك الولد بأن والده وراءه يسأل عنه ويتابعه. نعم.
Also of the issues the Sheikh Hafizullah stated is of the matter of choosing the best schools. Well, those who are blessed to have Islamic schools in their area, they choose the best amongst them, the best schools. And he said to be concerned about this, be concerned about the administration of the school, the teachers of the school. Are the schools concerned about teaching the children properly and they're teaching them proper character and proper belief and like this? So this is the utmost of matters. And who will he be companions with at the school? Look into that. Because he said the children go to those who they feel are more like them, or they lean towards the most in this matter. So choosing or making sure that the school companions he have or his peers at school are those who are good people to be around. And for the parent, he said, to constantly be vigilant in this regard, regarding the school, and not so that he won't be surprised later on to find that his child is involved in something or presenting his or herself in a way other than what he thought. But rather, the child should be understanding that if he looks over his shoulder, his father's there watching, observing him, and checking his behavior and like this.
كذلك على الوالدين أن يحرصا كل الحرص أن يكونا متفاهمين ويكون التفاهم قائما بينهما، وأن يسلك كافة السبل الموصلة إليه، وعليهما أن يجتنب الوسائل المفضية للشقاق والنزاع، ويبتعد عن عتاب بعضهما البعض أمام الأولاد حتى يتوفر الهدوء في البيت وتسود الألفة فيه، فيجد الأولاد فيه الراحة والسكن والأنسة والسرور، فيتعلق بالبيت أكثر من الشارع. وكذلك على الوالدين أن يتقي الله عز وجل في حالة إن وقع طلاق بينهما، فإذا لم يحصل بين الوالدين وفاق فقدر الله بينهما الطلاق، فعليهما بتقوى الله، وأن لا يجعل الأولاد ضحية لعنادهما وشقاقهما، وأن لا يغري كل واحد منهما بالآخر، بل عليهما أن يعين الأبناء على كل خير، ويوصي كل واحد منهما الأولاد ببر الآخر، بدلا من التحريش وإغار الصدور وتبادل التهم وتعليم الأولاد، وإلا فإن النتيجة الحتمية في الغالب أن الأولاد يتمردون على الجميع، والوالدان هما السبب في ذلك، فلا يلوم إلا أنفسهما. نعم.
So understanding between them, متفاهمين, that they should have understanding the parents, that they should always make sure that they show no difficulties in front of the children and no disagreements in front of the children, and they have understanding. And that what this will do, he said, is that it will show that there's closeness in the household, and the children will find contentment in the household, and they will be affected more with the household than with the street, as he said, more with the household than with the street. The second matter he mentioned after that was that if talaq should take place, the parents can't get along, then each of them should fear Allah Ta'ala regarding this issue, and that they should not make the pay the children as a price in this regard, but rather they should both help in making sure that they do that which is best for the children, and not get into a matter of trying to pull the child either way and make accusations to one another and make the child dislike this one or that one. Because what will happen, he said, generally is that the child will turn away from all of them, and there will be no one to blame but the parents themselves in this regard. نعم شيخنا.
وعلى العموم فعلى الوالدين أن يكونا واثقين ومتيقنين بأن التربية الصالحة لا تذهب سدى، فلو لم يأتي الإنسان من نصحه لأولاده وحرصه على هدايتهم وصلاحهم إلا أن يكون أعذر إلى الله بذلك لكفاه، فالنصح ثمرته مضمونة بكل حال. فإما أن يستقيم الأولاد في الحال، وإما أن يفكروا في ذلك، وإما أن يقصروا بسببه عن التمادي في الباطل، أو أن يعذر الإنسان إلى الله. فالكثيرا ما يصلح الأولاد بعد وفاة والدهم الذي رباهم على الفضائل، حيث لم يذكروا إلا بعد أمه. وخلاصة القول في تربية الأولاد أن يسعى الوالد في جلب ما ينفعهم ودفع ما يضرهم عاجلا أو آجلا. هذا، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، ونسأل الله عز وجل أن يصلح لنا الأبناء والذرية، وأن يوفقنا وإياكم لما يحبه ويرضاه، إنه على كل شيء قدير وبالإجابة جدير.
نعم، جزاك الله خير شيخ. Lastly, the Sheikh حفظه الله states that in general, that it's not for the parents to look at this issue of tarbiyah as something useless or something that is not important, or in the matter that if it's not happening or it's not helping correct the situation now, that is of no benefit. He said, because a nusr, or sincerity and sincere advice, and doing that which is best, is what's matlub, what is needed. And it will have its benefits rather immediately or in the future. He said, many times, the children don't benefit from it in the beginning, or they, you know, sometimes it may help them slow down on some of that behavior which they have, which is incorrect. Or if none of that takes place, then the parents are rewarded in the hereafter, in Allah. Or he said, sometimes the parents pass away, and it takes many years for the children to realize that Islamic education that he has instilled in them, and then they benefit years after the parents have passed away. So he said, never look at it from the matter of the tarbiyah, from the matter of what is necessarily happening at the moment, and never look like you're wasting your time, but whether there's a benefit to it, whether you see it or not. Another matter he mentioned is that the last statement, or the general statement regarding tarbiyah, is that it is to remove from the child everything that is harmful, and bring to the child everything that you can that is beneficial. And this is the basic matter of the rule of how to properly Islamically educate the children. Acquiring for them that which is good, and preventing and protecting them from that which is harmful. And then he made dua. الآن أنا في مجال الأسئلة. شيخ أنا.
نعم تفضل تفضل إذا كان هناك أسئلة تفضل بارك الله.
نعم. You brothers have questions there. Anyone?
نعم عندنا سؤالان.
تفضل.
حياك الله شيخ، هل تسمع صوتي؟
حياك الله، اسمع صوتك جيدا. نعم تفضل.
خيرا، نسأل الله تعالى أن يجعل هذا في ميزان حسناتك يوم القيامة.
آمين آمين بارك الله.
آمين. السؤال الأول، السائل يسأل بعد كتاب الله، يعني أنا في المحاضرة ذكرت يعني تشجيع على يعني تحفيظ الأولاد يعني القرآن. فالسؤال يسأل بعد كتاب الله بعد القرآن، ما هو الكتب المهمة التي ينبغي للأطفال أن يحفظوها؟ بارك الله فيكم.
جيد. أنت ستترجم؟
نعم.
ترجم الآن.
The questioner is asking, since the Sheikh mentioned during the lecture, the importance of teaching the children to, helping the children to memorize the Quran, the questioner asks, after the Quran, after the Book of Allah, what other books are important for the children to memorize? تفضل يا شيخ.
نعم. يبدأ مع الأبناء بعد تحفيظه لهم كتاب الله عز وجل القرآن،